Okay, good. Last one, we'll try to give a shit today. So I want to talk a little bit about the din of a chayv ha'em. Alex is very sad. There's a some other chayv ha'em. So the Gemara is the famous drash of the Sefer Yuma. This is one of the makaris. Not many makaris, but this is one of the makaris to the din of a pikuach nefesh. Whenever you have a clash in halacha between two different types of mitzvahs, for example, over here you have a clash between on the one hand the importance of saving somebody's life, and on the other hand you have an aveira, Shabbos, Kippur, etc. So there's a general question that whenever you have any clash in mitzvahs, so there's always a question that the Gemara raises, particularly in the beginning of the Zuma, that's the issue is the chuyah or is the hutra. The example that the Gemara speaks about is when you have Havodas HaKarbanos, Karban Tzibur B'tumah. So normally there's an issue of going to the Mekhi Mekhish B'tumah, there's an issue of walking a Karban B'tumah. On the other hand, there's a mitzvah of bringing a Karban Tzibur. So the Gemara says, what's the deal when you have a clash between the two? So the Gemara, there are some silkins that a Karban Tzibur is Daikha Tumah. So the Gemara raises the shadow, what's the nature of that deal that a Karban Tzibur is Daikha Tumah? This pshat is Tachuya, namely that the Isser is really the Mekhaimah, if there really kind of is an Isser to be Machiav a Karban B'tumah. The only thing is that Afal Pichen, even though there's a mitzvah, the Torah says that the mitzvah of Korban Tzibur is more important. So the mitzvah of Korban Tzibur is doich in Yisrael Tumah. The Yisrael Tumah is still going to become an Omer. You have to do it. You don't have to have a chedi if you do it. But the money is still considered to be an Aveir. The Torah is telling you to violate this Aveir. But maybe, you know, whenever you have this clash, like between Korban Tzibur and Tumah, so maybe along the seer is not that one is doich in the other, but rather that it's Tumah's Hutcher with Tzibur. That the Torah says that whenever there's a Korban Tzibur, so the Yisrael Tumah does supply. It's not a minus Aveir altogether. So it might have to mean when something is the chuyah, when something is the chuyah. You might have to do it anyway. Bottom line is the Torah says you have to do it. So what's the difference? So the simple shot of the Gemara is, the difference is how much you have to try to avoid doing it if you can. How much you have to try to avoid following the other areas. If you have the tomb is such a good tzibor, so then you don't have to avoid it at all. So the Gemara says, in this one mashal of the Gemara, if you have the tomb is such a good tzibor, so let's say you have two kohanim in front of you. One is tummy and one is tahar. So you're allowed to choose the kohen is tummy. It doesn't make a difference. This is my mamash no nafkamina. Once the din is that kumas sutra b'tzibur, then it's either you're being lachav in the state of tahara. It's absolutely no nafkamina. Because if you hold that the tuma is the chuyah b'tzibur, so then you have to try to avoid it if at all possible. And therefore, if you have the possibility of having a kohen who is tahara doing the avodah and not have to violate the yisur, You should try to avoid violating the Yisr. That's what the Gemara Yom presents it. The Gemara has this in other cases, the beginning of the Lev Nemila, hopefully in some way we'll call that, that's what we decide to learn at some point. So the Rishonim discussed, the very first places they discussed the issue, when Mila of Yom HaShemini is Lech HaShabbos, is that the Chuli, is that Hutra? Then the Gemara later on, Rebbe Lez Nemila, talks about Aseh Dovalos Aseh, says the further Shabbos, is that the Chuli, is that Hutra? So you have this running Shaila throughout, and the answer to all the questions is not necessarily the same. That could be the chuyah, that could be the chuyah, and vice versa. There's no reason to believe that everything is the same. But the Gemara uses those phrases, the chuyah and hutrah, so the Gemara uses them in the favors of the game, as Masechta Yuma, concerning Korban Tzibur versus Tumah. So the Rishonim seem to discuss this shadow when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh also. The Gemara said that Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha Shabbos. And true, the Gemara uses the phrase Deicha, but the word Deicha is not necessarily a right anything. So what's Pshat? Is Pshat the Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos? The Pikuach Nefesh and other Adairis is the Chuya, or is Pikuach Nefesh Hutra? So, L'chora, the litmus test, the nafkamina to the Shaila, should be the only way really to know whether something is b'chuyah or hutra is to see how much a person is b'chuyah to avoid doing the particular aveira. If the halacha requires that you're b'chuyah to bend over backwards not to violate Shabbos from b'chuyah b'chuyah nefesh, that would seem to indicate that b'chuyah nefesh is b'chuyah. Whereas if the halacha is that b'chuyah nefesh is hutra, so l'chora there wouldn't really be any need to have to try to avoid the particular act of Shabbos. So when it comes to Chil Shabbos, what's the din? What's the law? We have a situation of Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos, and I have different ways of doing, taking care of the Pikuach Nefesh. Either I can take care of the Pikuach Nefesh by being Mechal Shabbos, that's one possibility, or I can somehow do it in a way that's not going to be an act of Chil Shabbos. So what's the law? So the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos speaks about the following. What's the din? Whether Kol HaShem B'Shinui B'Shanina, the Kol HaShem B'Shinui Lo B'Shanina. If I have a possibility to do a particular malach of derech shinoi, and I can either do the act of Chol Shabbos derech shinoi, or I can do the act of Chol Shabbos in the normal way. So doing the act of Chol Shabbos derech shinoi on a level of deraisa is not a problem. It's not a problem. It's not Chol Shabbos deraisa. So What's the din? Am I allowed to do the malacha in a normal way, or am I mechuyev to try to do it kiriyah hayav to make the
dusa? Because the kashrus asked him, it's not going to affect malach
here. Yeah, that's obviously right. Right, it's no question. Right. There's no question whatsoever. This whole discussion is not going to be relevant. If, let's say, I can't take care of it. That's like this. Let's say I have to drive the ambulance to the hospital. So no one's going to say I have to drive the shiner. I have to drive it from my feet on the wheel. That's not necessary. But let's say there are other types of things where I could probably get the same level of care whether I do it with a shiner. The question is, am I mechuyev to this or not? So the context that the Gemara discussed this is concerning an Isha Yoledes. The Yoledes is usually assumed to be in the state of Pikuach Nefesh. The Gemara says that just because a woman is pregnant doesn't mean that she's in Pikuach Nefesh, but if a woman is in the process of giving birth, that's already considered to be the stage of Pikuach Nefesh. The Gemara has a very complicated discussion on Sefer Shabbos. At what point do you say that the woman is considered to be in the state of Yoledes? When do you say she's actually in the process of giving birth? So the Gemara gives different shiurim as to what point, how far into labor is it that a woman is considered to be Pikuach Nefesh. The problem is that labor is a funny type of not a funny thing, labor. It's a funny type of Pikuach Nefesh. It is that usually, if everything is going normally, so the very, very early stages of life, it's not really, it's not like having a lot of that every second counts in labor. Usually, you have a long time, in famous best words, for the person who has babies in the car. So the Gemara has a whole complicated discussion. The Masechta Shabbos, where exactly they draw the line? What progression, what point of labor is it considered to be Pikuach Nefesh? The post can point out this man has said you have to be careful in applying that principle. Let's say, for example, the Gemara says one of the shiurim of Pikuach Nefesh, at what point is it considered to be the beginning of labor to be mutter in Rechal Shabbos? So one of the shiurim the Gemara says is that when the woman's any chol lahalach, that she's not able really to walk by herself without getting supported by somebody else. Well, the Gemara gives another shiur when dam shows it, when she actually starts to bleed, which is usually somewhat further into labor. Or the Gemara gives another shiur when she's a sheves al hamashpeh, when she's in a birthing stool, or she's in the delivery room, whatever different modern day application of that is. So the Gemara gives the shiur, which is somewhat further on in the stage of labor. So the modern day post can point out, you have to be very careful with this shiur in the Gemara. Because in the days of the Gemara, so they didn't have to take travel into consideration. You didn't travel that far. You went into your bedroom and you had a baby. So the Gemara is discussing like certain things that are done in the process of normal labor. So if Kol's mother, she's not really at this advanced stage yet, so there's really no need to boil up water. There's no need to turn on the lights. There's no need to do certain types of malachos, which may be necessary to take care of the woman's needs. But this man is there when one of the major malach involved in giving birth is driving to the hospital, so you can't wait until that point. You can't wait until, okay, well, the Gemara, I'm very, very religious. I went to Gemara Masechta Shabbos and Shulchan Aruch, and it says that Kol's man that it's not Yosheves al HaMashpeh, Kol's man that she's not actually, sitting on the birthing stool, Kol's man that she's not actually bleeding at this point, Kol's man that she's able to walk, so that's not considered to be a woman in labor, definitely not in Mechal Shabbos. So the problem is that it's going to take you an hour and a half to get to the hospital. So by the time you get to the hospital, so the baby's going to be born already. So that's not what the Gemara was talking about. The Gemara was talking about a situation where you don't take travel part into consideration. So the whole thing, the whole tackle of the Gemara doesn't really make sense because man is there. So the pashas is because man is there. The only kavei as to when you go to the hospital is whenever you go to the hospital normally. So if you're giving birth on a Tuesday, so whatever point the doctor tells you to call on Tuesday, that's when you call on Shabbos also. But the principle is, even though the details have changed a little bit, the principle is for short term, that Isha Yoledes is considered to be the state of Pikuach Nefesh. So the Gemara says in the Sefer Shabbos that let's say you need certain things to help the Isha Yoledes in the process of giving birth, so you're allowed to carry a Shabbos. So the Gemara says that if you can carry Derech Shinui, you should try to carry Derech Shinui. If you're able to, you should try to do it Derech Shinui. Call Hecha the Efshel Shinui Mishanina. The particular scenario that the Gemara gives is a very, very strange scenario.
Throw it in here,
that's the case, yeah. Yeah, the Gemara said that sometimes you need oil or something for the process of labor, as I show why. You need oil or something for giving birth. So the Gemara says, how are you going to transport the oil? Let's say the oil is in a place there's no air, so how are you going to get the oil across to the woman? So the Gemara says, you really shouldn't carry the oil in your hand, you shouldn't carry it in a glass if you normally carry it. The Gemara says, you put it in your hair instead, and that way you get across the street, so then you'll, squeeze it out of your hair, and you use that sterile oil right out of your hair for whatever purpose that you need for. So the Gemara says that maybe it's not such a good idea. The Gemara doesn't question the sterility issue. The Gemara says, No, maybe you didn't accomplish anything because true, you're mitigating the aveir of hotza and you're carrying the kliyach hayad, but you're opening up a potential problem with sita. So the Gemara says, what do you gain? The whole idea is to try to minimize the chilul Shabbos, and then you're substituting one malach for another malach. So it's a nach gemara. The Gemara says, no, ain't sita v'seir. That the issur of squeezing out here is not a misa deraisa, it's not a misa derabanan. So that's considered to still be a minimizer. If you carry that oil in your hand, so then you're not just carrying, you're doing misa deraisa. There's no, if it's just around deraisa. Hashem, if you're just doing the malach of shechita, so it would be shechita deraisa. Taka would make a difference. You're trading on some, shechita is no great win. But if you're trading on some deraisa, shechita derabanan, so that's pretty good. That's worth the trade. So that, and that's what the Gemara says. So there's Machlokes Rishonim. How to understand that Gemara. So some of the Rishonim say that Gemara is the model for all of Chil Shabbos. That means anytime you have a Lech on Shabbos, you should let us as an example of Chil Shabbos. So the Gemara says Kol Hecha Der Shulish Mirishanina. So you're supposed to try to avoid Chil Shabbos if you're able to. So turning something from the Raisa to the Rabbana is tantamount to saying you're supposed to try to minimize the Chil Shabbos as much as possible. That's what some Rishonim say. That Gemara is the clock. Another Rishonim say, no, that Gemara is the Yetzir of us. The Rambam says. The Rambam says that Gemara is the Yetzir of the clock. Because the Rambam points out that Gemara is not talking about Chayla B'Shabbos. That Gemara talks about Yoledes B'Shabbos. Might not convince you to Chayla and Yoledes, so there is a little bit of a difference. So the Magen Mishnah explains that a Yoledes, true Yoledes, is considered by the Halacha to be a Pikuach Nefesh. But on the other hand, the Yoledes is Tiva Shalaylam. It means Yoledes is true, she's in a state of Pikuach Nefesh, but on the other hand, it's a natural type of Pikuach Nefesh. It's something that, you know, if Yoledes would be like a real, absolute, bona fide Pikuach Nefesh in the fullest sense of the word, so then you would never be able to have any children. You have, you're not allowed to be someone to a situation of Pikuach Nefesh. What right do I have to become pregnant? I'm putting myself into a danger. So the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put this danger into the normal type of oil. I'm not allowed to put myself into a situation and say, I'm not allowed to do some kind of activity that's very, very dangerous. You say, I want to go, bungee jumping or something. So I'm not allowed to bungee jump, right? Because that's considered, most people don't do that. So the din is that there's nisr, there is a mishmat from Rosh Hashanah. You're not allowed to put yourself into danger. So the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechet Yevamot, that when you draw the line, sometimes everything has a certain degree of danger to it. You get up in the morning, you get out of bed, so you're putting your life, there's a better chance that you get into a car accident if you're in a car than if you're sitting in your house. So when you draw the line, so the Gemara has a principle in the Gemara of Shavuos called Shalom Pesod Hashem. The Gemara says there are certain things you're allowed to do, and you're allowed to rely on the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect you. Shalom Pesod, Pesi means a fool. Shalom Pesod Hashem means that Kadosh Baruch Hu protects the fools, the simple minded, the very passionate people that Kadosh Baruch Hu protects. Somebody was telling me a story that someone was like trying to give a compliment to somebody else. How they're such a big tzaddik, and Kadosh Baruch Hu watches over them. So they didn't understand exactly this possible thing. I want to take what this was a big compliment. So they said, oh, Alecha Nema, they put in the guy, you know, they wrote a possibly the guy's honor in the dinner journal. Show me the son of Hashem. Show me the son of Hashem. He's like, Kadosh Baruch Hu watches the morons, watches the fools. So the Gemara says that this possible show me the son of Hashem. So the Gemara learns out Halacha from here. The Gemara says that a person is allowed to take into consideration that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to watch him sometimes. You're allowed to do certain things that are quote unquote, a little bit dangerous, assuming Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to watch you, you don't have to be concerned. That's what the Gemara said in the beginning of Masechet Yevamot, so with the Machlokes and Tanoim, whether let's say, when a woman is nursing, or a woman is very young, or so whether it's considered to be potentially dangerous for her to become pregnant. So there's one Tana who says that, yeah, that's potentially dangerous for her to become pregnant, and therefore she's not supposed to become pregnant. So she has to do some kind of form of birth control. We might discuss some method of birth control, maybe too. And that's where the whole Shiloh, the whole Sugya of birth control appears in the beginning of the Yevamos, in the Torah of Ksubis, the Gimel Lashem Shem Shem Memo, all around that issue, that a woman is potentially dangerous to become pregnant. So the Chacham responded to the Rabbi Meir and said that we need dangerous to become pregnant. Show me the Zayim Hashem that she doesn't have to worry about it. Even though she's young, she can still become pregnant, she'll be okay. The woman is nursing, she can still become pregnant, don't worry about it. So the Pelskin pointed out that the Chachamim weren't closing their eyes to danger. The Chachamim weren't saying that you're allowed to ease up into a situation that's dangerous. Sometimes you have a woman who's not really dangerous. She's not allowed to become pregnant. Sometimes you have a woman who doctors orders that she has certain conditions that she's not allowed to become pregnant. So even the Chachamim agree that there's a concept that you're not allowed to ease up into danger. So what were the Chachamim responding to Rimeir? So the answer is the Chachamim said that those cases that Rimeir was calling danger, so we don't think they're really considered to be danger. That's considered to be even the normal Mahalach HaChayim. Even girls are a little bit young, so young doesn't hear. The Gemara's not talking about she's 22 years finished college yet. The Gemara means she's 12 or something, she's 11 or 10 or something, so we're afraid it may not really be dangerous, so no pregnant. But even the Chum agreed that you're not allowed to be something to a real Pekroch Nefesh. The Machlekes are made, the Chum was, is this really considered to be Pekroch Nefesh or not? The Chum felt that this is the normal Darker Shalom. So maybe you draw the line, what's called Darker Shalom and what is not called Darker Shalom? So folks can give the Hadara that it basically depends on what the Minhag HaOlam is. I mean, do people consider the following activities to be dangerous? And do people refrain from doing them? The normie is the normal, taking a normal survey, we have 15 normal people here. So most people here get out of bed in the morning. Some people get out of bed in the afternoon. Okay. Some people walk on the street. Some people drive. Okay. But some people fly in planes. That's all considered to be normal. Does anybody have bungee jump? Okay. So normal people that can't get bungee jump.
No.
No, good. It's dangerous, right? No. What do they do? I don't know what they do.
You like tie stretchy cord. It's pretty simple
bungee cord.
A big rubber
jump off
like a bridge or something.
And
you dangle.
Like, yeah.
But is there
a way
to
pass
the Passover right?
Cool. Which is after, and then, yeah, barbecue. Barbecue, barbecue. So there are certain things that are considered that Lashem Bnei Adam are considered to be dangerous. Most people. Yes. You have to figure out each case and see is it considered to be shalom or shalom or not. So whatever the nosh ba'olam is, it's not real bona fide pikuach nefesh. So this is a similar type of idea, the same way that there's this distinction in halacha between certain activities of allowed and not allowed to do. So too you have even within situations that a pikuach nefesh is yesh v'yesh. There's real bona fide pikuach nefesh, something which is like an unnatural kind. The guy has a heart attack. Nobody plans to have a heart attack. Nobody wants to have a heart attack. Nobody doubts them about that. On the other hand, people doubt to get children, people want to become pregnant, people do become pregnant. And nobody says to the woman who's pregnant, you know, hey, Vega Valk, you know, your life's in danger, who knows what you got yourself into. Like, listen, there shouldn't be people say that, but normal people don't say that. So true, the MSC is that at the time, when the woman is giving birth, so it is people of nefesh, but it's a type of people of nefesh that's Timosh Shalom, but it's also the Adar, Baruch Hashem, most people do survive childbirth, the overall majority of women do survive childbirth, and it's considered to be somehow a type of Hadavar. That's why Rav Moshe has a tshuva, so he asked Rav Moshe about inducing labor. The woman is going to give birth, she's due already or whatever, she's getting a little, tired of carrying the baby around for a while, or the doctor's on vacation for 2 weeks, so she didn't quite go into labor yet, so they give her a couple of hormones, and they start the labor going, inducing labor. So was that also? So Moshe wrote a tshuva that he thought that it was also for a few reasons. He thought you're not allowed to slave, but one of the reasons why he said it is, he says he thinks it's like putting yourself into a situation of pikuach nefesh. He said, why pikuach nefesh? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was running the world, he's doing everything up terech ha-teva. Okay, so the teva is, you go into labor, whenever you're ready to go into labor. But you have a special haftach for the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're going to be okay. But to dafka, if you're in my hair, a situation of labor for no good reason, except that the doctor is going to Hawaii for 2 weeks, so Rav Moshe didn't think that was mutter, but that was a problem. It was one of the reasons. Then you know, other reasons, other folks give. But other reasons why I think that inducing labor is not correct, because you're learning with the malach, the baby's learning with the malach. It's a little clearer. The baby's learning with the malach, and you're taking the baby out of shiur early. It's like ending the site, like giving a day from shiur, you're not going to do that. Other person quote other reasons, the Gemara, the end of the Sefer Shabbos, says that, the Gemara, the end of the Sefer Shabbos, says that it's a baby's born of different mazalos. So if someone was born under this model, it would be this kind of person, born under that model, it would be that kind of person. Different, you know, doesn't mean Khalil to mitigate your chashis, but certain atiyas that will depend on when a person is born. So a person who was supposed to be born at a certain time, and you patch it around with his mazel, so it's a terrible thing they use with him, I don't know, whatever, something like that. So the person can give a whole array of different reasons why it's awesome. The bottom line, it's hard to pinpoint any particular halakhic reason why it's awesome. It's also because it's stupid. It's also because it's dumb. Because it's not medically wise to induce labor. You're only allowed to induce labor when it's medically called for. So it's not the time. Sometimes it is called for. Sometimes towards the end of pregnancy. Sometimes sometimes the mother's not doing so well. Sometimes the baby's not doing so well. So usually when the doctor. If you have a shayla, everyone who medically induce a woman, so they always call me, so I always ask them, there's one question, just tell me one question. Are you doing it for medical reasons or are you doing it for convenience reasons? If you're doing it for medical reasons, the answer is it's mutter. If you're doing it for convenience reasons, the answer is it's stupid and definitely not allowed to do it. That's it. Good.
According to Moshe, C-section, is that also considered?
We assume you only do a C-section for medical reasons. Right. No one's going to volunteer to do a C-section. Right. So if it's not for medical reasons, then no way is very sick to do it. So anyway, so getting back to the story, so the Gemara says that.
Anyway, if you're doing a C-section, though, would everybody agree that's a real Pesuach Nefesh situation? Not like even the Rambam would say that that's like a. It's not like a regular Yolenis because.
I mean, surgery. Maybe it's mamsha surgery. So maybe. So the Rambam says that this is a little watered down type of pikuach nefesh, so therefore the heter pikuach nefesh is a little bit watered down also. Means that pashas what the Rambam is saying is like this: that minat Torah you're really allowed to carry the oil however you want. But the Rabbanan Chacham said that since you're able to be mishanah, so you should be able to be mishanah. When you take care of someone with a heart attack, you take care of someone who's a real bona fide, absolute 1,000% pikuach nefesh, then you don't even have to be mishanah like a chilu. You do whatever has to be done. You just do it, finish. When you're dealing with the situation of real letters, which is not such a tremendous pikuach in the first place, and then you should try to avoid it if you can. And other Rishonim say no. Other Rishonim say that it's the same chayil and yoledes, all the same thing. Actually, the shviyei mishanim applies across the board. The chayil should be a corollary to this machlokes. And that should be, let's say you can avoid doing the malacha ayyadei so altogether. Let's say you can do the malacha ayyadei good. What would the halacha be? And this is assuming that it's not going to interfere with the quality of the care. So should you opt to do it ayyadei good? So here you have a chayler in front of you, and you have a Jew. I'm standing here and there's a guy standing here. We're both just as qualified to take care of this chayler. So what should it then be? So the Pasha says that according to the Rishon we say that Efshal Lishnim Mishanidin applies to real pikuach nefesh, so then there should be efshar yedeh, also efshar yedeh, which should also be encouraged. And according to those Rishonim, we'll say no, but there is no din of efshar l'shnim mishaninan by real pikuach nefesh. So Pasha says that the efshar yedeh goy is also not considered to be an issue. Here, yedeh goy, there's a second fact to take into consideration. That's why there were a group of poskim who were concerned, but even though in terms of lumbus, it would be better to do an yedeh goy. Maybe just in terms of the seas, it's better not to do a day goy. Number one is maybe talking to goy is not as qualified, but number two, that maybe it's going to legally day a zilzum of pikuach nefesh. And people are going to think that here the Jew doesn't want to do it, so he's dishing off on the goy to do it. So next time when there's no goy around, so the people are going to be very hesitant. They're going to think, oh, well, we have fun, we'll call the goy to do it, and they legally day a terrible mishal, and they legally day pikuach nefesh. So there were a group of folks who said that even though in theory, it's right. In terms of pure law, this may be talking. You should do it on your day, but if you're gonna always dish things off to a guy, so that may not be such a good thing. So there are different opinions in the postscript as to what you're supposed to do. Usually, we assume like this: there are different types of things that people have to take. There are some types of jobs that mamish can be done totally the same on your day, guy, as on day Yisrael. Let's say, for example, let's say you have a woman's going to Olin. That type of pikuach nefesh, you have to drive to the hospital. So who should drive to the hospital? So the pashas should have a goy drive to the hospital. So it's much, much better in halacha to call a goyish cab driver. So you don't live in a Muncie or Flatbush or something where you can't get a goyish cab driver. But if you get a goyish cab driver, you live in the Heights. So it's much better to call a goyish cab driver than to drive the car yourself. Let's say your mamash can't get it, so don't go around the drive. So then when he's married, then you have to drive the car yourself. If you're able to get a goyish, you get a goyish. Again, this type of pikuach nefesh, which is like going to the hospital for Isha Yoledes, assuming that you're not in such a major rush, so you have a little bit of time, so this time it's better to wait the extra 5 minutes to call.
You have to do malachos to get the guy.
What malachos do?
The malachos are right in order to contact.
What malachos? That you can do darshini and do it. There's any chashash, so I pick up the receiver with the shirin. Remember, I told you story.
Didn't Rabbi Bullock once say, like, what melacha is?
Yeah, what melacha? I remember one time in the Haizen, somebody told us story, you know? It was Friday night, and the woman in that building was in labor, and a few times it happened. And the husband came down also to plug in and coming and going, so I had to like kind of relax him a little bit. So I called the cab for him, and then the cab didn't come. So because I didn't want to call Sin one because I don't speak English. I thought it would be better to get a cab driver who knows how to speak English in case we get lost a little bit in the hospital. So I think I called one of the other cops that was in. So they didn't come. It was 10 minutes, 15 minutes, one week contraction and everything. Sit around and wait for Dan and Cam, or interested in Cam or something. So I called someone. So I told him they should please send somebody who was familiar with the language. So what was the response to someone? As soon as I called, I said, we need somebody right away, woman's in labor. What did they say? Anyone ever call someone?
Yeah.
They would say one thing.
5 minutes?
Too many. One time I called from, from Brooklyn or something for someone. I said, too many. This shayla that whether because nefesh is the chuyah in the sense that you do mamish only that which is absolutely necessary, you have to try to bend over backwards, try to avoid doing it, or whether it's chutzpah, you have a much more holy way. So this may be related to another mach like this, besides perhaps like Zeram and Rabban, this may be related to another shayla. When we say that you're allowed to take care of the tzarech yachol of the Shabbos, so does that mean only the tzarech yachol which are really necessary for pikuach nefesh? But what about what's considered to be the normal standard of care, even though that particular care is not necessarily going to make a life and death difference. Let's take this. Let's say you have a cholish yesh posachon on Shabbos, and normally you would make his life a little bit more comfortable, so you'd prop up his bed a little bit, maybe you'd cook him up some soup or something, but is it going to really make a difference whether he has the soup? Is it really going to make a difference whether the bed is uncomfortable or not? Somebody's not going to die from the lack of soup, the lack of a comfortable bed. So should that be permissible on Shabbos? So the Pasha says that's a problem. That's what Nebuchadnezzar should say. You're not allowed to do that. Because Nefesh is only mutter. Those activities which are necessary to do Nefesh. So the Magen Mishnah disagrees with them. The Magen Mishnah claims that there's a klal of also kol tzarech hachol b'shabbos. That means that anything that's considered to be within the normal medical care of a chol, even though that particular care is not critical in terms of his life or death situation, that's also okay. So the Be'alacha has a little discussion of Shabbos, how we pass it. So the Be'alacha is not the Lahachman. The Be'alacha says it doesn't think we should rely on this Magen Mishnah. It's Shabbos derais, according to those of the Zuhud Magen Mishnah. So the chol, they would hold that these quote unquote unnecessary things, which are not really going to be life and death, that those are assumed arises. So Be'alacha doesn't like that Shabbos Magen Mishnah. But Reb Chaim is said to have passed like this Magen Mishnah in the following context, that it says in the Gemara in the Maseches Krisos that when a person eats on Yom Kippur, so he's supposed to try to give them papas maybe shir, so try to feed them a little bit less than the right amount. If they can't survive based on that little amount, then you have to give them more. If they can't able to survive, so you should try to give them papas maybe shir. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes this din of papas maybe shir and seems to apply to all cases of pikuach nefesh on Yom Kippur. Any type of achol on Yom Kippur, isha who's mubaris, or isha yuledes, or whatever, achol mamash, all kind of cases who isha mubaris, regular mubaris, now on Yom Kippur, she has some complications. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes it across the board. You should always try to be ma'afa pachas in the Mashiach. So Reb Chaim claimed that that's not true. Chaim said that din of the Gemara of machilah pachas pachas in the Mashiach is limited only to the following type of cases. Reb Chaim, you can have pikuach nefesh in Kippur in two ways. You can have someone who's already a cholish yesh posachon. The guy just had a major surgery in Kippur, so he's already in the state of cholish yesh posachon. He's laying in the hospital with 15,000 tubes pumped. He's a cholish yesh posachon about shir v'sham. Then you can have another type of cholish yesh posachon, which means that right now the guy's fine. The guy's walking around shul. He's davening. He's full current. He's great. The other thing is, he has a heart condition or something. He has some kind of condition that if he fails, so it could potentially become aggravated, and that could potentially become lidei pikuach nefesh. That's a different type of pikuach nefesh that we're claiming. So when you have someone who's already a chayla, it's like a risky one. It's a shame choy, the gabbers are really shame choy marim. See, then the din is, osin kol tzorech echol lebi yom kippur, the same as osin kol tzorech echol lebi Shabbos. And then, since normal eating for a cholet is not to eat pachas batzim kishir, it's to eat a normal meal, it says Reb Chaim, once he's ready, he has a shame choy on him, so he's allowed to eat normally on Yom Kippur. He doesn't have to eat a half a cracker at a time. The only time there's a din in the Gemara of pachas batzim kishir, so that's only true when the guy's not really a chayli yet. He's a potential chayli. He's going to become a chayli. He doesn't need. So he doesn't. He's not a chayli yet. So he's not called a chayli. He doesn't have the hefker vosin kotzer a chayli yet. So then only then you have to be careful not to feed him more than the shir. So Reb Chaim sack that you have a chayla, there's a shame chayla, and I know for a fact that if I don't give him the full lunch, he'll be just fine. But it's still more lachatil to give him the full lunch. What's that based on? So that's based on the Magen Mishnah. That same, the same head that Chaim is saying in the Kippurim is the same word that the Magen Mishnah is saying in Ochel Shabbos. The Pashas is the same way the Mishnah Berurah disagreed with the Magen Mishnah of Ochel Shabbos. He disagreed with the Magen Mishnah of Yom Kippur. The Pashas of the Mishnah Berurah does disagree with the Mishnah Berurah. Follows what the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is that the Dinah Machilas of Pachas Pachas Mashiach applies under all circumstances. This is a running Machlokes HaGedolei, HaRishayim Machlokes HaGedolei, Apostle Me'alacha. What do you do? There are different opinions amongst Rabbanim and Zmanazah. What do you do when you have these chodesh sakaras? So how much you have to be careful? Only the limit that care, which is absolutely critical. But even according to the Magen Mishnah, that means things which are normal medical care, normal comfort care. Let's take this thing. I have a guy who just had surgery yesterday. So his mom shechodesh yesh b'sakara. He's lying in the hospital bed and he says he wants to watch TV today. He wants to turn on the TV on Shabbos. That's also called tzorech echad. He's a big lavender. It's also like the Magen Mishnah. So, not that he says that if I don't watch this video, I'm going to die. No, that's not the Shah. Shah says it's going to make me feel better if I watch TV. So, I don't know, sometimes that's hard to believe. Somehow, even the Magen Mishnah, the Mishnah wouldn't hold that way. The Mishnah by the Mishnah would say, you're allowed to maksut, you're allowed to turn light spin, you're allowed to, fix the bed up, you're allowed to do those kinds of things which are physically improving his condition. If you let him watch TV, that's hard to believe. Unless he mamish time is that. If he doesn't watch TV, he's going to get so aggravated. He misses the World Series game. He's going to get so agitated, so aggravated. He may tap and die from a heart attack. So then it's okay. Then it's okay. Psychological sakana is also sakana. So Moshe has a tshuva that you have a woman who's in labor and she's going to go to the hospital on Shabbos. So the husband wants to know, is he allowed to go alone also? Why does the husband have to look at a foot chum or something? Why does the husband have to go? She'll be fine on the way. She'll give birth. She doesn't need him. So he answers her, but she says, of course he has to go, because, well, it depends. If she's not a real, prey, if she doesn't really need him, she says, no, stay home. You're getting me too nervous. Stay home. So then she should go by herself. But most women aren't like that. Most women would like the husband to go alone. It's going to make her feel, calmer. So Moshe says, making the patient calm is also a significant issue in terms of pikuach nefesh. That's the Gemara says the end of the Vasa. That's what the Chacham lo Mesachin, not the Shchemir, right? We said it this once, right? The Chacham lo Mesachin, that a person's very sick, so they don't have to make a kinyan. They don't have to write a shtar. They can just say whatever they want, and tibi shchemir chesum 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 titor daikim. The Chacham were sensitive to this idea that psychological stress that could be a problem. When I was in Israeli. So I took one of the psychology courses we took. So we had to write a paper about some issues in halacha, psychology or something. So I think I wrote a paper about the collected like 20 tshuvas of some of you were Moshe about different chidushim that Moshe had about the psychological issues in halacha. So one of the issues was this wasn't a Moshe's chidush, Moshe plugged it into here. So that was one of the things that I don't know. I have to go find the paper. What is a good paper?
The Chaim doesn't really seem to be defensive like the Magen Mishnah, because the fact that the guy has to eat may be something that's real to go with nefesh.
No, the Chaim is saying that even Chacham Ma'askin and that, the doctors say nothing will happen if he eats Bachas Mekashir. Absolutely nothing will happen to him. As long as he eats Bachas Mekashir, he'll be totally fine. The Chaim says he can sit down and have lunch. No, but he doesn't have to eat Bachas
Mekashir. The Mishnah Berurah would say that the wife can't come along?
No, so the Mishnah, what do you mean? The husband. No. The Mishnah Berurah would be minded that if not doing the tzorech could potentially lead to the growth of nefesh. Of course, the Mishnah Berurah would say that. So Rav Moshe writes that to tell the husband not to go home, the wife even gets so upset that may worsen her condition. So that goof could become growth of nefesh.
Psychological factors, not
growth of nefesh. That's the psychological factors are often growth of nefesh. That's exactly what Rav Moshe is writing in the Shulchan. That's right. That's right. The patient gets so worked up over something, so that can deter, that can be detrimental to the care. And look at that. You don't prevent it, I know that. Person's mindset, of course, is a major.
Yeah,
so
I'm
going to
say that.
Well, I'm going to say that. Chazal said 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 that. Chazal So up to now, we've been discussing this very serious level of halacha, chutzpah nefesh. To order to violate the araisa, so the pashto says that you have to reach this level of either chutzpah nefesh, or the gemara is a chiddush in the end, so assuming that chutzpah nefesh is good enough, there has to be someone in the realm of chutzpah nefesh before one would be permitted to violate the araisa. There is a shaila in the poskim, what about sakanas eiver? The person's going to lose a limb. So is that considered to be something which is sometimes losing a limb is not going to be good nefesh? That's very possible. Let's say, would you see that Sakana Zeb would not necessarily be good nefesh? I mean, that statement would be true. So would just the fact that the person's going to lose a limb, would that be sufficient grounds to commit the violation of Deraisa? So in Hilchos Shabbos, it would appear from the Rishon Hilchos Shabbos that that Sakana Zeb, although it's quite a serious tzarech, and perhaps we're going to permit many surim derabanan just to prevent the loss of a limb. But the book stops here, the permittedness of deraisa, so the pasha says that's not going to happen. Pasha Enkir, others want to question that the shach in Yerodea that may throw a monkey wrench in there. May question that. It could be that maybe Zakana Sefer is considered to be, almost halacha according to the Bikur Nefesh.
And the whole point of
Chaybach
is that if you
want
to serve Hashem, so
if
you lose an Avery, you won't be able to serve Hashem
in
the same way.
That's the whole reason of Chaybach, the reason of Hashem. Chaybach
is
much less,
you can use another
Mitzvah. No, that's a different book. That's the Gemara's two different Sukkim. The Gemara is the Pasuk of Shomer and Shabbos. Chalal Shabbos, Sachs, Beish, Yishmash, Abbas, Ha'ab. And then the Gemara is another Pasuk of Chaybach, Vosh, Yom, Spam. So the Pasuk says that those people work with different clothes, like the Chaybach means that even though the person is not going to be serve Hashem at all, let's say the guy is going to remain in a coma for the next 20 minutes. So the Gemara says, "Chai Shabbos." So the Gemara says, "Yemachal Shabbos." To say the guy was in the bottom of a pile of nafla mapelas, even though he thinks he's only going to live another 10 seconds. The Gemara says, "Yemachal Shabbos." There, I said that that means Chiyus life in itself is significant. But there is clearly a category in halacha that's called the chola she'ein lo sakana. So they have a situation where absolutely no shaila that nothing's going to happen to the guy. The guy's not going to die. He's not going to live an egg or nothing. So he's going to be a chola she'ein lo sakana. The question is what is his status in halacha? So the Gabi derives is so there's no heter. So the Gabi sitting there rabbanon, so there is a heter. So the rest of the fairish. So when you have a chola she'ein lo sakana, so you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos aydei amiru yakov. To do the malach yourself, the raisa that you're not allowed to do, but to do it aydei akon, so that's permissible. So the Gemara is a very strange statement about this din. The Gemara has a maseches ditin, this halacha, and a maseches beis, this halacha. The Gemara compares this to another din where amiru yakov is mutar. The Gemara says that let's say one of my should have said this v'yamatvuchia. The Gemara says we spoke about this beis, huh? About the cut of eyes for the shul. So the Gemara says that let's say a person wants to buy a house in Eretz Yisrael, and the guy only wants to sell the house on Shabbos. If you don't buy it either today, or you're going to go sell it to another guy. So the Gemara says that you're not allowed to sign your document, sign your name on Shabbos. It's a skill, it's important, it's buying a house and going here to show up. Mitzvah, Yishuv Eretz, all very important mitzvah. But on the other hand, it's not Derech Shabbos. So the Gemara says, true, it's not Derech Shabbos Mamish, but it's Derech Emir Yachom. Let's say you have to have your Derech lawyer go and sign on your behalf or something, and you have to have some going take care of the whatever's necessary to transfer ownership. So the Gemara says, you're allowed to violate what would otherwise be Emir Yachom in order to be kind of by Yishuv Eretz. So this is a... in the days of the British, so they used to have these land auctions in Eretz Yisrael. So when the British caught on that the Jews were buying up all the land, and they didn't want it, they wanted the Arabs to buy the land. So they used to schedule auctions on days when the Jews hopefully wouldn't come. So they would schedule auctions on Yom Kippur. Even the least religious Jews, so many of them wouldn't, weren't going to go buy land on Yom Kippur. So this came to Rav Kook. That's where the British were pulling off the stunt. So Rav Kook tells him that you're allowed to have goyim. The Jews are allowed to get some goyim who are on their side to go to these land auctions and represent them and sign the documents and drive in the. And if they can have the goyim drive them, even they can go with a Croatian cab driver to go through these auctions. They're allowed to do a miliakum, not a problem, because the Gemara says the famous that the tzarech yishuv eretz yisrael, you're allowed to buy a miliakum. So the Gemara says that this din that you're allowed to buy a miliakum in order to buy land in eretz yisrael. So the Gemara compares that to the din that you're allowed to violate a miliakum in order to help somebody who's a cholah she'ein b'sakana. So the question is my high. What's the connection between those two dinim? So the Acharonim have the following lumpish of view in this connection. So there is a din deraisa that pikuach nefesh is doich Shabbos deraisa. When you have a clash between a real cholah who's a cholah deraisa and Shabbos which is deraisa, so cholah deraisa beats out Shabbos deraisa. So the cholah who called the tikkun rabbanu came deraisa pikuach, namely. That when you're not dealing with Shabbos deraisa, you're dealing with a mil yakum, which is only a nisa de rabbanon on Shabbos. So, since the stakes aren't so high, since it's only a nisa de rabbanon, so the Chum said that if you can find somebody who has a shem chayla, but not quite a shem chayla deraisa, he doesn't quite meet the criteria of being a real pikuach nefesh, he's a chol she'ein b'sakan, he's laying up in bed, he's not doing so well, but he's also considered to have a shem chayla, so a shem chayla de rabbanon could be that chol Shabbos de rabbanon. So it's a parallel in halacha that chol tikkun rabbanon came deraisa tikkun. That just as a chol deraisa, i.e., to be defined as a chol deraisa, you have to be pikuach nefesh. So a chol deraisa can be doicha chil shabbos deraisa. So too a chol derabbanon can be doicha in this derabbanon of amir liyakum. So that parallel exists when it comes to yishuv eretz yisrael. Also, it's a din the Gemara has in the first book of Shabbos that you're not really supposed to go to a war. You can plan a war properly. So the Gemara says you're not supposed to go to war. Within 3 days before Shabbos, because it's going to potentially lead to the Chil Shabbos. So you should try to plan, whenever you're able to plan your war, you should try to plan it at the beginning of the week. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, comes Wednesday, so you should try not to start a war on Wednesday. The Gemara says, let's say for whatever reason you started the war on Tuesday, and it still didn't go as well as you thought you could capture Fallujah before, and it didn't happen yet, so you're still fighting away, it's Friday night. So the Gemara says, what do you do? So the Gemara says, you finish up the war. Vidyabed, you start the war. So Vidyabed, you can continue. Ad minuta, the Gemara says, you can continue the war on Shabbos. So you see from the Gemara, that why is that? Why are you allowed to finish up this war on Shabbos? So the answer is that sometimes the war is the Makom Mitzvah, the war is in Kodesh Eretz Yisrael. That's the type of war that presumably we're talking about here, perhaps. So that's true that the Gemara is telling us, you say that the Kibush Eretz Yisrael is the Shabbos, that's more important than Shabbos. So just as deraisa, there's a din that Kibush Eretz Yisrael, which means going with tanks and planes, that's real Kibush deraisa, as we spoke about earlier in the year. So Kibush deraisa is the Shabbos deraisa. So what's considered to be like a Kibush deraisa? Buying a house. You buy a house in Eretz Yisrael, you buy from another guy. You buy from a guy, so you're conquering Eretz Yisrael. You're not conquering Eretz Yisrael in that Torah. It's not considered to be a nice kibush, which would permit you to violate Chol Shabbos deraisa. It's considered to be like a watered-down kibush ha'aretz. So that watered-down kibush ha'aretz can give you the permission to violate what would otherwise be a Chol Shabbos derabbanan. So that's what some of them say. That's the parallel to Gemara. That the Gemara is picking on these two mitzvahs, which these mitzvahs per se are the Chol Shabbos. I mean, the mitzvah of kibush ha'aretz does have the ability to be the Chol Shabbos. The mitzvah of pikuach nefesh does have the ability to be the Chol Shabbos. But the only time that these mitzvahs have the ability to be derech Shabbos is only when the mitzvahs are mamash v'shlemusa, that it's real kibush or it's a real chayla. So comes the chachamim and said that we're going to extend that. We're going to say that the issue is only derabban anyway, so then we're going to let you get away with a watered down kibush. We're going to let you get away with a watered down chayla. That's also okay. That's what the Gemara makes this din.
If yishuv eretz yisrael is derech yisrael, but if living in eretz yisrael is misregarded, so. Why shouldn't you be able to buy that guy?
No, that mitzvah is not the Shabbos. It's a Zohar mitzvah deraisa. That's not the Shabbos. A lot of mitzvah is not the Shabbos. Chazal is special in the Sayyid, but the Kibush Eretz Yisrael is the Shabbos.
Okay, let's avoid it if you're going about, it doesn't matter when you start a war, because before Friday afternoon, there's much of a fight on Shabbos, there doesn't go up that much.
No, so what do you see from this Gemara? Very good. So some one of the Gedai, you see from this Gemara, that you're not supposed to set yourself up for a situation to go from that. This is one of the rise they talk about, the posting of all discussion. Are you allowed to go into, let's say, surgery on Friday? Not an emergency surgery, you have a choice, you do it today, you do it next, you can do it on Tuesday. Shatai Lada, take it, go into a surgery, and probably if you know Norwich full well, but it may lead to a dead Kuch Nefesh. So some Yishonim say that's a problem. So one of the rides that they bring is this Gemara. Another ride they bring is the Gemara has also been given on Shabbos. They're not supposed to go on a boat, you're not supposed to aim a flig and besvin, or give a young kid on Shabbos. You're not supposed to go on a boat ride within 3 days before Shabbos. There are different reasons within the Rishon. Some Rishon say, says Shabbos. Chumin, other Rishon say it's a problem of Enik Shabbos, because you're going to be seasick on Shabbos. And other Rishon say, no, it's a problem because you may find yourself in a situation of the Kuch Nefesh, so you're not supposed to set yourself up for a situation of the Kuch Nefesh. The Shabbos, whether those reasons apply Bizman Azeh, they may not apply, but if they don't apply Bizman Azeh, so you go to Queen Mary, so the odds are you're probably not going to get too seasick. The odds are they're probably not going to ask you to come tie down the ropes. You know, something's not working in the control room. You're probably not going to come and knock on the doors for the people to help. So one could argue maybe those assumed don't apply on our cruise ships as well as that. It's a different shot. But some of the Rishonim a little shot in that Gemara, you're not allowed to go on a boat ride on Friday because there's a chance you may leave the day for Shabbos. You see, you say against Alex. You see that. You're not allowed to do something that could potentially lead to the day Shabbos. That's a Shabbos.
What's the story that you could go into surgery?
That you could what?
That you could go into surgery.
Some Rishonim deny that. They say that Gemara is talking about other reasons. The Gemara says you can't, because it's Chumin, other issues that may not be relevant in terms of the surgery. That's a Shabbos. What's the law? And I'm a Chuyuf right now, at least phase one. I'm a Chuyuf to have a whole mindset that I have to do something to avoid Chil Shabbos, the Hatter.
Because he
doesn't
take longer than a week.
I don't know. It's a kind of quick words. We don't like long words. We don't like any words. So the Gemara says, at the end of the day, the Gemara says that it's mutter to do a mil yakom for the tzarech of a cholosh em b'sakon. But the mom is running out. Nice, that's the din. What about other Rishonim that are Rabbanim besides Amir Yaakov? So that was a big machlokes of Rishonim. So Rishonim said that Amir Yaakov was just one of the examples of an Issa de Rabbanim, but the Amir said that all Rishonim de Rabbanim are mutter. And other Rishonim disagreed. Other Rishonim said that Amir Yaakov is a much lower level Issa de Rabbanim. Why? Very simple, because it's Ein Bo Maisa. Amir Yaakov just violated a deeper level. It's because of the Maisa. To do a real malacha, to a real bonafide malacha to Rabbanim, a real listen to Rabbanim, that's much more chalmers. So, and Rishon say that would be a problem. So we try to follow that. We try not to be mekel. We try to assume that the only type of listen to Rabbanim that come with it, the makom, not real good nefesh, the makom chol shem sakana, take a quote unquote good nefesh, so the makom chol shem sakana, there's only the listen to Rabbanim of Amir Yaakov. Nevertheless, the Rabban writes that there were certain other Yisroel Rabbanim which were also considered to be very kal, which were also like similar to Amir Yaakov, which one could commit also. What is an example of this? So the Rabban writes, if you do something derech shinui, if you do it in an abnormal way, that's considered to be also a very kal issa de Rabbanim. So therefore the Rabban says that would also be mutter b'chol b'chol b'shein b'sakon. The only problem is it's not clear what exactly the Rabban said. So the way the tour and the Shulchan Aruch simply present the Rabban, so it sounds like they're learning as follows. That means the Rabban saying to do an Issa de Rabbana derech shinui, that's like a trade Rabbana. So to do an Issa de Rabbana derech shinui, that's going to be mutter b'makom chol b'shein b'sakana. So let's say like this. Let's say to turn on a light in a room, for argument's sake, that's most probably an Issa de Raisa. So the Torah of the Shulchan Aruch said the Rabban would not be mad that with your elbow. It's not to turn on a light b'makom chol b'shein b'sakana. That's doing an Issa de Raisa with the shinui. So why is that an Issa chal? That's a very sechum. That's a regular bona fide issa d'rabbanan. That's a problem. What kind of an iser derech shini was Rabban being matir to do an iser d'rabbanan derech shini? So what is an iser turning off a light? So turning off an electric light is probably only an iser d'rabbanan because it's a malach hashem atzrich legufa. Because it's you're not making a pechel, you're not making a coal, The issa d'araisa of kibbutz is only to extinguish something for the purpose of improving the thing that you're extinguishing. Like let's say someone with ben shlach, so they light the light candles first and then blow it out. Because when you light it and blow it out, so it makes the wick a little bit easier to light with. So that would be an issa d'araisa of kibbutz. But just time you have a fire going, you put some water on the fire. So we pass in halacha, that's only an issa d'rabbanan. So So it could be that's what the Ramban was mad at, to do an Issa de Rabbanan Ayatay Shinoi, that's Mutter from Mokom Sher Chavosh Embas Akarna. To do an Issa de Raisa de Shinoi, so the Ramban was never mad at. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. So the later post can point out that if you look at the original Ramban, the Shulchan Aruch didn't have the original, the Ramban of Teresa Adam, so the Ramban sounds like, not like the Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramban sounds that he was mad at Lagamre, that any Issa is done de Shinoi is an Issa Kal, by definition. That's a very, very low level Issa de Rabbanan. And therefore, it would be mutter for cholish and basakana. So, later then we probably pass him it, because later Ramban will point out that's probably what the Ramban really meant to say. So, therefore, the ma'isa as follows: when you have a cholish and basakana, so you should try to get a goy to do it. You get a goy to do it matter, then for sure it's mutter. It wasn't the fairish, it's mutter. If you can't get a goy, it's not feasible. So it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You can't find a goy to do it. So then, if it's a misa derabana, if you could do it out of the shino, that's for sure mutter. And even if it's a misa derais, if you could do it out of the shino, the probably solid grounds to be made.
So,
if
a person breaks his leg, it's considered
a cholesterol sakana? No, breaking a leg is considered to be a cholesterol sakana, because potentially breaking a leg, so, you know this, no? Breaking a leg, what?
Biology.
What? Biology. Breaking a leg could potentially cut an artery. So, if a person breaks a leg, they have to go to emergency room. They have to get it taken care of right away, because that could potentially be a replicable
damage. What about your recovery?
What
about your recovery?
Oh, I mean, you're all set already. There's nothing you're breaking. You didn't cut the arteries. You're all set. That's not a cholesh yesh b'sakana. It's not even a pasha. It's a cholesh yesh b'sakana.
No, it's a factor of it. Like, first off, swelling up. Like, one of the Arab Shabbos, and I'm like, my neighbor, one of my neighbors, and they said they wake up at the Shabbos.
Was it crazy? Was it crazy? That's a question. No, that's fine.
Is there any difference? Is it better if you can be machal on one Shabbos rather than two Shabbos?
What do you mean?
Like, if you know you're going to have a 1 week recovery, so, or like a 1.5 week recovery, so is it better not to schedule it?
Yeah, you can, like, one chance. Yeah, sure, why not? Just try. But, so, we have some idea at least what's going to be mutter for the Cholesh Eva Sakana. Where exactly do you draw the line? What exactly is considered to be a Cholesh Eva Sakana? So we know what it's not. We know it's Eimos Sakana. The question is, how sick must the person be to qualify as a Cholesh Eimos Sakana? So here the Rishonim distinguish between a Cholesh Eimos Sakana and a Michash B'Yama. Not every little kvetch is considered to be a Cholesh Eimos Sakana. So usually the phrases that the Rishonim use, that has to be like Nafala Mishkan. That's usually a good litmus test. The person has to lay down. The person is very uncomfortable. So they have to, they're not functioning in a normal way. That's considered to be really a Cholesh Eimos Sakana. Sometimes a person has a tzarka goof or something, has some unbelievable pain that's people are not laying down because they have 5 kids in the house and they can't afford to lay down. But the mice, they would, if they couldn't lay down, they would lay down. So that was considered to be like a chol, like a chol shem b'zakana. And then many of these have terrible plot. You know, other individuals.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
chol shem
b'zakana.
Take talonol. Is it deraisa?
That's a
chol shem b'zakana. No. Because in order to be a chol shem b'zakana, you have to be at least at that stage where you're going to be a nafal mishkan or a tzar kol guf or something like that. But there are other individuals. The halacha, you know, immediately sanctions, immediately declares that they basically fall into this category of a chol shem b'sakana, even to start with. Take, for example, a little child. So a little child is by definition considered to be a chol shem b'sakana. How old does the child have to be in order to be matter really yakum, be matter these exum derabanan tashina, those kinds of things outright? So there are different opinions, and then the poskim, at what point do you where do you draw the line? It's hard to give an absolute little babies. For sure, chol shem. Sometimes the cholesh yesh b'sakana, but usually the cholesh ein b'sakana. So little babies for sure fall into that category, and sometimes even little older children are also considered to be sometimes they're very prone to getting sick. So that's also considered to be somewhat of a cholesh ein b'sakana. This happens all the time. We used to live in the Heights, so very often they have to take care of things. The baby gets diaper rashes, all kind of stuff that not pikuch nefesh. On the other hand, you got to put on creams and all kind of stuff, which are potentials of their ices. So if you have a goy who's able to do it for you, so that's the best thing to do. To do a meal yakam on these potential so it'll be okay. Let's say you can't get a goy to do it for you, so then you have to do a derech shina.
It's the I said
that if you have a goy to do it, so that's the best way to do it. If you don't have a goy to do it, so then you have to rely on those poskim who say that the Ramban statement works even by the Raisa Derech Shinui. The Pashtas, that's what the Ramban himself seems to say. So So little babies, for sure, considered to be a chol shem basakana, and sometimes even a little bit older children may also qualify as a chol shem basakana. The Gemara says in the end of Masechta Shabbos that after a woman gives birth, so she goes through different stages in terms of her development in the stage of chol shem. Right, and she gives right before she gives birth. Right before she gives birth, so then she's mamsha choloshi yesh pasakana. So that's only at the very, very end, right before, you know, she's in active labor, she's a choloshi yesh pasakana. What about after she gives birth already? So the Gemara says, right before the Leidah, she's a Chol Sheyesh Pasakana. What about right after the Leidah? So the Gemara says that it depends on how close to the Leidah it is. So at the very beginning, when she's right after the Leidah, so for the first 3 days, she's a Chol Sheyesh Pasakana. Then from day 3 to day 7, the Gemara says that it depends on the situation, the size of each Leidah. So some women, after 3 days, they're responding. So Bizmanazah, they send you off to the hospital for 10 minutes, you're already at the hospital. So after 3 days of the wound, everything is normal, so she doesn't have any particular needs, then she's not a chol sheyesh basakana anymore. But let's say the woman says that no tzricha nika, she really feels that she does need certain things, so then that could be labeled as a chol sheyesh basakana. So the Gemara, that's going to happen after Minah b'Shabbos of Yom Kippur, within the first 3 days, so she doesn't have a choice. She's supposed to eat and whatever chol Shabbos necessary they do. After 3 days, or 3 to 7, so then it depends whether she says tzricha nika or not. After 7 days, the Gemara says we assume she's not a chol sheyesh basakana. Unless there's some complication, say the woman had some terrible hemorrhaging or something, or she had some major complication with a cesarean, or who knows what, so then she made pikuach nefesh for longer. Normal way, so that after 7 days, it's not pikuach nefesh anymore. So the Gemara says, but it's still a chol sheyesh basakana, I mean, she's still pretty weak, she's still, 2 weeks ago she had a baby, so even though she's not technically nefel mishka, she doesn't meet the quote-unquote rigorous definition of a chol sheyesh basakana in terms of being nechlas for gufo, or the style for gufo, or nefel mishka. No, she's so schwach, she's a whole, she's not quite back to herself. So if he didn't, she's labeled as a cholish ein basakana. They have to be gemar to the parish, that a merely applicable be mutter. So the first 30 days after birth, so she's still labeled as a cholish ein basakana. After 30 days, then she's not a chol anymore, she's just a regular kvetching person, so she is a kvetch, she's a kvetch, but she's not a cholish ein basakana anymore. That's what the Shulchan Aruch wants in the Tisha B'Av, that a woman for the first 30 days after birth is really technically ptur from passing on Tisha B'Av. So she's mechuyavas. Once she's passed the point of pikuach nefesh, whatever that is, 3 days, 7 days, depending on the person. But if she had a baby 2 weeks ago, so of course she has to fast on Yom Kippur. But the Shulchan Aruch says she doesn't have to fast on Tisha B'Av because Tisha B'Av is only derabanan. So the Chamor Mesaken that a cholosh in basakana doesn't have to fast on Tisha B'Av. So this woman is also a cholosh in basakana.
So you say cholosh in basakana has the same definition as the halacha Shabbos.
Yeah.
Someone who
just
has to lie down
because
they feel sick enough.
No, I have to lie down. I mean, everyone feels a little bit shvach when they fast. So it means you have to, the guy's running fever or something, the guy's really, really out of it. So then they reach the point where they're mamsh out of it, they're really, really sick. So then they're like, no, there are different levels of fever. The Yisra Meisha Shaila, at what point do you say the high fever is considered to be a Chol Sheyesh Pasakana? So Meisha gave a very, very vague response to what Moshe said. He says, he thinks if you have 102 fever, that's Chol Sheyesh Pasakana. So the doctor was pointed out there. The question wasn't a fair question. It's a medical question. It's not really a halachic question. Basically, the answer should be, it depends on the context of the fever. It depends on everything else. Fever in and of itself, a high fever doctor could be, some high. A guy's running 105, so somebody has to go for nefesh no matter what. But let's say a guy has the guy has the flu. He just went to the doctor yesterday. He knows he has the flu. He has 102 and a half fever. So they say that's pikuach nefesh. Stuff is not pikuach nefesh. The other hand, let's say a guy has all of a sudden unexplained, you know, he's running 101 fever and it's unexplained and he's throwing up and he's got cramps and his legs are swollen and he's got 15,000 symptoms and he has only 101 fever, so, and they can't figure out what's going on. Yeah, that's of course that's pikuach nefesh. So it's hard to give an answer. So I've had more than 102 fever many times in my life, and Baruch Hashem, you know, it hasn't been pikuach nefesh. So you have to size up the situation. So in came, let's say a little baby, if an infant runs, a little baby runs fever, runs 100 fever, that's pikuach nefesh. So you have to, it's not a fair question to answer with Moshe. It depends on the context of where the fever is an indication of pikuach nefesh or not. But even if it's not pikuach nefesh, the guy is running 101, so somebody feels lousy enough to lay down, so somebody that would be good enough to, you know, tishbuch also, and that would be enough to do isur d'rabbanan of a miliach or mashina, whatever it is, in terms of Shabbos. Then you have other individuals who are also considered by the halacha to be also quote unquote the chalish emos hakana. That's the problem. That's a chiddush that the Maharam of Ruthenberg has. Now, Ruthenberg writes that you have a situation. Let's say it's very cold in the house on Friday night, and all the wood burnt up already, and the fire's out. And if you're not going to make the fire a little bit higher, so then everyone's going to catch cold. So the Maharam of Ruthenberg says that everyone in the house is considered as a chalish emos hakana. Why? Nobody's sick. Everyone's healthy. So the Ruthenberg says a little bit of an ounce of prevention is worth months ago. Is worth
pound
of cure. So an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So the Ruthenberg also said the same paramount, said the same thing. He said, why should you be a fool and leave the freezing cold in the house this Shabbos, and then by next Shabbos everyone's gonna be plotting and sick. So the din is that the Chum didn't want people to get sick. So the Ruthenberg says that kol chalim metzatzina, that everybody catches cold. You're sitting in the house in Eastern Europe, 20 below, and there's no fire going, so you're going to get sick. So that's considered to be a chalash emos hakana, even though everyone's healthy, no one's sick yet. But for the agamich kor, that's considered to be a potential chalash emos hakana.
Your house is very cold, and
so of course,
you need to look at it on
100%, yeah, that's exactly.
Turn off the air conditioning.
Turn off the
air conditioning.
No, that's the pashas is the following distinction, the difference between cold and hot. That in the middle of the winter time, if you get to... if you get to turn on the heat the right way or something, you cook something, you're going to do it. Let's say you left the air conditioning on in the house, and the time it really gets very cold. Remember when we first moved to Paramus, our first shot was in Paramus, so I didn't exactly know how to work the air conditioning properly. So I remember I came down Shabbos morning, and it was like 40 degrees down in my dining room, and we moved in, it was September 1st. So there's something wrong, so that's how I met my next door neighbor for the first time. I went across the street and looked for a guy, and I asked him, could they please turn come in? It's freezing. So I go home, it's in the house, it's 40 degrees, so you're going to get sick. So that's the head of the Maharam group. I go home, it's in, that's also okay. So you see, in the point you say for him, that you could take even past the cold issue, that's the notion of preventative care. Let's say you have individuals sometimes who have certain medical conditions, that right now they're not a chodesh emes sakana. But you know that if you don't do certain intervention, they're going to become a chalash emos hakana. So let's say when it comes to medicine, when it comes to taking medicine, so the thing is also that there's an issur in the rabbanan, you're not allowed to take medicine in Shabbos. There's a gzeirah mishum shchikas hamamonim. You're afraid that you're going to you may come to grind up the medications. So you know, Alice, I know your question is going to be something. Answer your question before you ask it. So Alice is going to say, but with man hazeh, nobody grinds up tamamonim anymore. So the answer is the ruba the post can help. Yeah, that doesn't make a difference because it's generally assumed in halacha that bakla tam, so lo bakla gezeira. That even if the chum made a gezeira for a specific reason, if the reason falls by the wayside, so the gezeira is still intact, unless you have a basin that's going to be mounted to the gezeira. Because the chum is the ram and the raibid, what kind of a basin do you need to mount to that gezeira? Do you need a basin which is gold, b'chokmo, b'ninyan? Normally the Gemara says that whatever basin makes a gezeira, so you need a greater basin to uproot the original gezeira. So some of the Rishonim say that cloud applies across the board. Means whenever you need to like zera, you have to have a base and go to chacham of the minyan. That's what the Rambam says. And the Rabbit says no. The Rabbit says that when you need a base and go to chacham of the minyan, that's only when the time of zera is still around. So then you really have to analyze this zera properly. So you know the previous base of thought that was necessary in the zera. And if you want to change what they said, even though the reason still applies, then you got to really be an expert, a real crackerjack to go up against their gezeira. But if the original gezeira, the reason for the doesn't apply anymore, so why do you have to be such a big chacham to say matter the gezeira? There's a special din. The Gemara looks out from Sukkah and Maseches Beit. There's a special din. You have to be mevatel the gezeira. Davshim a minyan, davshim an achal atiroi. So the Ravid says that yeah, there's a din. You need a minyan achal atiroi, but you don't need such great chacham to be matter. So as long as you have a beis din, any beis din kol shehu would be good enough. So that's a shayla. That machlokes now in the Ravid depends on how to pshat. In the Gemara was a sukkah, but Rav Yechon ben Zakkai. The Gemara tells that Rav Yechon ben Zakkai was mevatel certain takana of the previous generation. The Gemara says there was a takana that there's a din that when you say have ma'aser sheni, so let's say I have a field in the Galil somewhere, and I'm growing a fruit, so the din is supposed to either bring the fruit to Yerushalayim or kiyichat mechamot, it's too far away. So then I'm allowed to redeem it and bring the money to Yerushalayim and buy fruit in Yerushalayim and do the dishes of Ma'aser Sheni. So min haTorah, as long as I'm outside of Yerushalayim, so I'm allowed to be paid. I'm not allowed to be paid the Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim itself. I'm supposed to eat in Yerushalayim. But as long as I'm from even a 10-minute walk out of Yerushalayim, then it's okay. So the earlier Tanoi made a takana that you shouldn't do that. That if you're within the day's journey to Yerushalayim, a day's walk to Yerushalayim, so it's not a good idea. You shouldn't redeem the Ma'aser Sheni. Why? Because they wanted that people should be bringing their fruit to Yerushalayim. They want it to be nice. Otherwise, what's going to happen is that people, no one's going to come to Yerushalayim anymore to bring their fruit. Everyone's going to just bring their money, and Yom Tov will be very nice. But the rest of the year, things are going to be very shvach. So the Chachamim wanted that the Yishuk Yerushalayim should be beautiful. They should have a lot of fruit, and people walking around, and eating fruit, and be pretty, carrying baskets on their heads. Like, you know, I know the Tu B'Shvat songs, but that would be a great idea. So the Chachamim said, if you wouldn't have one day's journey, so don't take advantage of the din deraisa, you're allowed to be pointed to the Ma'aser Sheni. Should come and bring the Ma'aser Sheni in. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was mevatel that takana in the time of the Churban. After the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said you don't have to follow that takana anymore. Then you follow back with the Raya, so that even if you, no matter where you are, you can be pointed to the Ma'aser Sheni. So why was he mevatel with takana? So the Gemara says because the reason didn't apply anymore, because the whole idea was to make Yerushalayim pretty. Here the Romans were running Yerushalayim. It wasn't a Jewish city anymore. It was taken over by the Goyim. So why do we have to make the Goyish city of Yerushalayim pretty? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, you don't have to follow that takana anymore. So the Rambam and the Rabbi have a shaila. How could Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai be mevatel this takana? He wasn't as great as the previous generations. Why wasn't he so great? How do you know Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wasn't as great as the previous generations? Maybe Tachan really was. So the Rishonim quote is around Masechet Sukkah, where the Gemara says that Hillel had 80 Talmidim, and the greatest of his Talmidim was Yonasan ben Uzziel, and the Shvach of his Talmidim was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So some of the Rishonim say, see, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wasn't even the greatest of Hillel's Talmidim. So for sure he wasn't greater than Hillel. He wasn't greater than Hillel's Rebbe. He wasn't greater than the Shmai Rav Chaim. He wasn't greater than the previous Dairus. How could Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? He's a big... We're not belittling him at all, but in terms of the hierarchy of the Messiahs, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai wasn't Hillel, he wasn't even the top Talmud Hillel, he was the lowest guy, he got the worst mark in the Bechinus, he wasn't the greatest Talmud. So, and Afal Bichayin, he was able to be mevatel the Takana. So you see that you don't need a days in Gan Chok of Min to be mevatel the Takana, as long as the Tam is bottom. So here the Tam is bottom, so it's easy to be mevatel. So, because the Mishnah writes that the Rambam would respond as follows, well, what do you mean, Chalul v'chalidiyah? You're making fun of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, and he was the worst of the Talmidim, he was the lowest of it. He was unbelievable, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. He was the greatest of the Talmidim. He was the greatest Talmud Hillel. But that's not what the Gemara says. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that Papa Shabbatun Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So if you have to look carefully at the Gemara says like this. The Hillel had 80 Talmidim, and they all knew everything. They knew Kalachimus and Gezer Shavas, and they knew Gematria, also Tkufas, and they knew astronomy, and they knew geometry, and they knew physics, and they knew counting, and they knew English literature, and everything, they knew Mamash, they knew Kotar, Kuder, Taramazda, everything. And the Gemara says, after giving that whole presentation about the Talmidim, the Gemara says, Yerushalayim ben Azil, he was the best, and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, he was the worst. So the Kesavishna says, what that means is like this, in terms of Taramazda, in terms of the world knowledge, so Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai wasn't such a big Tamachachim, he wasn't such a big secular guy, he wasn't as great as he also knew, the Gemara says, he also was a bucky, Halavai, we should all like him. He knew all the Chachmas HaOlam and everything, but Tachlis, he wasn't in Yonasan ben Azil. Yonasan ben Azil, he was the crackerjack, he was the top of everything. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was he got the lowest marks in college. But in terms of learning, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he was the Gvel Ador, he knew everything. He knew how to pass the child better than anybody else. So So because the Mishnah says that you can't bring a Rav from Achimur and something that says Yochim Zach was the Pachas of a Kulan. That just means he was the Pachas of the Matat. That doesn't mean he was the Pachas of the Torah. Maybe he's the greatest of the Torah. So therefore, it's hard to tell from that story about the quality. We can't tell from Yochim Zach's resume who was he in terms of the hierarchy of the Messiah. We know he was a big rabbi, he was a big Talmid Chacham. He was the Nasi, right? He was making Zeiros and everything. So can you tell that he was necessarily on par that he was off the previous taklanas or not? You can't tell. So that's somewhat of a humorous machlokes of Rishon. Remember, Yechim Zaka is, his abilities as a mevatel taklanas, but the ma'aseh is machlokes of Rishon. I'm going to write it. What's the story? So getting back to Alex's question, that everybody agrees that you need a bit of a takana. Machlokes is whether you need a bit of a day, chokm, chokm, or minyan, but the takana you need. So therefore, the pasha says is that no one was ever mevatel takana. Let's say we have 10 minutes, we get a basin together, three guys here, we get the basin together. But until that happens, so then you can't take medicine anymore, Shabbos. That's what most of the posts said. There was one day in Achrayim that disagreed, says HaShulchan, was written by Reb Chaim Dov. He was a Gadol in Eretz Yisrael in the previous generation. He was the Bar Kutz of the Chazanish. He was everything the Chazanish, all the Shiur were the Chazanish. Everyone always sees when you buy tzitzit, it says the Chazanish Shiur, Chaim Shiur. And then you make an Erev, and the Chaznish, and he was the one who had all the, everything the Chaznish said in terms of the Kazayas and Kibetzas and Amas and everything, so he had a little bit of a different year. So he was a very, very big Tam Chacham, that's a Shulchan, so he suggested that maybe this whole Israel medicine doesn't apply to the Mazar, and maybe this Takana was Tatan Zbapa. Why was it the Zbapa? We don't have a record of any days that being Mavapa. So it could be that sometimes the halacha is that even though there was no official Moshe Beis, sometimes the Takana Taka is Bapa Me'elav. Well, where do you know that? So there's a Torah in Beis that says that there's not a day you're allowed to dance on Shabbos and Yontif, because the whole Gezeirah was made that you may come to fix musical instruments, and most people today don't fix musical instruments, so the Gezeirah is Bapa. But you need a day to be Mavapa. So the post can explain, the Torah means it like this. And there were different ways the Chomer made takana. Sometimes the made gezeirah and said that don't do this and this. And they didn't exactly tell you what the Tom was. They didn't incorporate the Tom of gezeirah into the gezeirah. They left the day. We know what the Tom is. The Tom was you shouldn't come to play instruments. The Tom was you shouldn't come to grind medicine. But and sometimes the Chomer mamish incorporated into the gezeirah itself. It said that we are hereby afraid that you're going to fix the musical instrument. Therefore, don't dance on Yom. Why did sometimes they do it one way, sometimes they do it another way? That's a hard answer. These gezeirahs were made thousands and thousands of years ago. The days of the Mishnah, these gezeirahs were all intact already. They were already given. So these were pre-Mishnayis gezeirahs. So we have no idea what prompts the Chum sometimes to make the gezeirahs one way, sometimes another. So the Tosus writes in the Seventh Beis that he sees that the Olam is made when they dance on Shabbos. They clap in their hands on Shabbos, which the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do. It must be that the Olam is assuming that that gezeirah was made ala Tanai. So the Tzitzis Shulchan Ais, he thinks the same is true when it comes to taking medicine. The problem is it doesn't say that in the other pasuk. Nobody else assumed that way. So it's generally assumed against it. Assumed that the gezeirah of medicine is time to chayyam is medicine.
The same thing. He said the
pasuk
is not social interaction. They
have
proper
mutter.
Because they're not afraid
they're
going to have
social
interaction.
No, the Gemara itself speaks about pasuk. Here, we're sitting back.
Then there was no concept of not making your medicine.
It could have, would have, should have, but the master didn't, so that's the question.
This wasn't meant to be,
that's all. Okay, so that's the question. That's exactly the question.
How come no priest and Or got together? Like, in deference to
Rama,
no one got together and said.
Yeah, we're not in the business of being about the gazeros. It's not you have business with Mamas, we don't generally do this. Not sure, maybe time we do pass like the Rama, it begins to write, I don't know. We do the days and go to Hope, you know.
So if someone's a chola, she was a kind of before Shabbos, he starts taking like antibiotics or something?
It's a different story. It's a totally different head. So so in order to be mutter to take medicine, the person has to reach the stage of a chola she'emus. The person has only a vichush bi'al, the person has a little bit of a, nose is running, it's a little bit of a bellyache, a little headache or something, so that's not even a chavash eba sakana. So you're not allowed to do anything, you're not allowed to do a miliyakam, you're not allowed to do a yisur my day shiv, you're not allowed to even take medicine. In order to violate the yisur of taking medicine, you have to at least be a chavash eba sakana. It's interesting, even though normally yisurim derabanan ayde maisa are yisurim chamurim, so we're not mafter for chavash eba sakana. Medicine seems to be the exception to the rule. But the nature of taking medicine is not such a common interest in the Rabbanan. So they lift that as the Rabbanan to a makam chalal and shayim basakam. You have to at least be a chalal shayim basakana. So what I've mentioned before was like this. Sometimes you have a situation, if someone was, there's a woman in my community, she always asks me the same shayim all the time. She has migraines. And those of migraines know that sometimes if you catch it, you know, in the early stage, if you catch it in the early stage, so you could sometimes prevent it from becoming out of control. But if you lose it, if it overtakes you, so then it takes a lot longer to get it to recover from it. So those who have bad migraines, so no, you can manage to be out, like you can manage not to be out. It's a cholosh ein basakana for sure. So sometimes, let's say Shabbos morning, she'll feel that she feels the first pain is starting to become the migraine headache. So right now she's in shock. Right now she's doing well. Right now she feels fine, but she knows it's 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. She knows by 4 o'clock she's going to be out cold. So the question is she mechuyev to wait until she's out like a light before she's mutter to take her medicine? But you say no, preventive, an ounce of prevention. So I always tell them that I think that's the same stock as the Mar Murdenberg. Mar Murdenberg was mechadish. You're not mechuyev to wait until you get sick. You're allowed to do whatever necessary to prevent you from becoming sick. But this is the same derabon, because the same word mata really happened for a chol shei basakana, so mata medicine for a chol shei
basakana.
How do we know what mata medicine for a chol shei basakana? For the same reason. So that's a question. If some achronim are orer, then how do we show them that? Why is medicine the exception to the rule? But the nice, it's nice to say shachronim is the exception.
Is it like a liquid is different?
No, so the gzeira was clearly across the board. The Gemara says the gzeira was in all kinds of medicines, even solids, liquids, pills, anything.
Let's say
there's
something like, let's say also has like a sleeping
medicine
also. Has
what?
Like a sleeping
medicine.
Like it's a nighttime
pill. That's the problem. Now I take any medication on Shabbos, unless you're mamish chol shei, let's say you can't sleep. Let's say a little mamish can't fall asleep at night. So folks can say that's like a chol shei basakana. Because why is Nafal HaMishkav called Chol Hashem HaSakana? Because you can't do your normal routine. Normally people don't lay in bed in the middle of the day. Back once they're sure, now they're learning, they're lunch. And he can't do these. He's so miserable, he can't do that. So that's like the definition of the Chol Hashem HaSakana. He's so in physical discomfort that he can't go through his normal routine. That's called Chol Hashem HaSakana. So a normal routine at 2 o'clock in the morning, he's going to sleep. For normal people. So if a guy wants to fall asleep at 2 o'clock and he can't fall asleep, he won't take a sleeping pill to fall asleep. So let's say he has like such bad allergies that's keeping him awake at night. So that would be mutter. That would be like a chalosh
and basakana. I'm saying, like, if you have a choice, let's say you don't need the actual sitting room, you have a choice between like a regular one and one that has it, like it's just a benefit.
It's the same pill.
It's Tylenol.
Yeah, I think that's okay. That's all right. Where Moshe has a shayla like this, let's say you have a guy who has he's a chalosh and basakana. And he's on two medications. Let's say this guy has some kind of a chol shei basakana, and he also happens to have allergies, you know, that bother him on Shabbos. So the pill that's necessary for the chol shei basakana part, he's allowed to take. Is he allowed to take the allergy pill also? That was with the shei eliezer marsh. The marsh said no. He said that it's not a freebie to be mouth for everything. It means whatever is necessary. But the stuff of that was where it's two different pills. Here's almost the same pill. So it's hard to believe that that's also.
Is there any
hazard
if you mix the medicine and food?
So maybe, that's a shayla. If you mix it before Shabbos, maybe that may be mutter. If you put it in derech ma'achal. But when it comes to medicine, so the Gemara said that certain medications you're allowed to take on Shabbos. You're allowed to take, the Gemara speaks about you started a procedure from before Shabbos, and you're allowed to continue with it to Shabbos. So most of the folks assume what that means like this. Maybe you're on some kind of a regimen that if you stop in the middle, it's going to throw you back. It's not just going to not solve your problem for Shabbos. It's going to make the situation worse. Let's say, for example, antibiotics. So if you start antibiotics before Shabbos, then you stop the whole day, it's going to potentially make it worse. So that's more to take on Shabbos. But let's say you have allergy medicine. I take allergy medicine. Let's say Barbara said I take Clara. Let's say I take it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. If I don't take a Shabbos, so it's not going to make it harder to cure me on Sunday. I'm just going to be miserable on Shabbos. So that's not a heter. So the heter is that if I talk about not functioning, it's so bad, the pollen count is 97.5, so I can't breathe. So then maybe it's going to be more to put it. Sure, there's a little sniffling here and there, so that's going to be a problem. So that's what most people say. Others disagree. There are some who have this idea that you start the best and then maybe you'll let it continue. Vitamins is a big question. Vitamins is a big question. Whether they consider to be medicine, food. Food is more to put it. You're allowed to drink hot tea on Shabbos. even though I, let's say I have a sore throat, and I'm drinking the hot tea because I want my throat to feel better. So the pasha is that's mutter. We assume that's mutter. So whatever is food is mutter. Whatever is machabrim is mutter. Question is, what are vitamins? Vitamins, food, vitamin, medicine. The government is still on us, still on his own. Yeah, the government is still, they're still talking about it. Still, man, it's not full on budget. I don't know. Rav Moshe is true about it. Talked and Rav Moshe himself is that report for that. He's also listening. What? Flip phones. Yeah, I know. You have to be kosher. That's not a problem. If they have a shkach of pashas. So, I don't know. I always tell people they should take the vitamins for the first thing they do on the social
media. I think
that's
what
it's
like. Is it like a drink?
It depends. Is it something that a bori, that a regular person would have? If it's something that a healthy person.
Sometimes bubble gum.
He always loves it. He says, "I want just to tell him, just the bubble gum." Okay, yeah, one more question.
These muscles are taking shots because it'll make a bit of
a clot natural. No, you rule out that reason because since if you don't take it on Shabbos, it's going to throw the treatment off. It's going to make it worse. So that's partial. Okay, let's stop now. Okay. So, yeah, tomorrow, guys, good luck. Tomorrow, we're going to stop the dark, okay?